We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us like he does every Tuesday, Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons is in the studio here with us. Chip, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
I feel like I should say sheriff when you're on the air with me, Chip. It seems so informal.
Yeah, I've been called worse.
No, that's true. How many people have asked you about the zipper in the last week?
Too many. Too many. I think it's become a little personal.
No. I'm sorry.
No, it's not that. No one's really asked me. When I first get in the car, my friends, if you'll call them will text me and say, how do you know about that? What's going on with that? I was like, I don't know. Andrew's weird.
No, that's 100% reliable. That's not even informative. True. All right. Turning to more serious matter, it occurred to me. I was curious if anybody asked you. We had a woman, Junita, I guess is how you say this, Mitchell, arrested recently, 50-year-old Pensacola woman. She sprayed another woman with lighter fluid, set fire to a woman's truck, this is over on 79th Avenue. This is weird. I mean, this is super, but this has been seems like a thing lately. We've seen a couple of cases, like the one at the convenience store, right? Wasn't there something like that with gasoline or whatever? Yeah.
That was terrible.
So,
You can't do that. You know, I think the trend here is that there's people that cannot control their anger, and there are confrontations that escalate. That's kind of where we're at in this. Now, it's unusual to escalate to that level where you pour lighter fluid on. I mean, clearly you know that could be, there's fire and there's lighter fluid and there's stuff like that that could cause a lot of problems, a lot of injuries to people. And it could kill people. If you recall, a couple of years ago, we had a lady at the gas station pour gasoline on an individual.
Yeah.
And that person got severely burned.
And it looks like, I guess this one kind of started with, the dogs started fighting with each other and then it escalated to her spraying lighter fluid. I guess once you're spraying lighter fluid on people, you might as well spray it on everybody. I mean, it's just weird the things that people do.
Yeah, again, it boils down to the control, your own temper, control your behavior. Give us a call before you start spraying, dousing people with lighter fluid or anything, really. Just give us a call, and then maybe we can stop these things before they happen.
Take a breath, leave the area. The two basic things I always told my boys, take a breath, leave the area. You know, you don't have to say anything and you don't have to fight. I mean, it doesn't always work, but that is the rule. We also had a woman in Cottage Hill passing $100 bills as real currency at the Dollar General.
Yep, that's it. $100 bill. You know, there's not as much cash as there used to be in our economy. However, the people that work at these stores and people that work at banks, they deal with money all the time.
Right.
And they feel the texture of money all the time. And almost all of these counterfeit bills that we have encountered have been terrible. Now, I know the printers are advanced and they do a really good job, but the paper is difficult to get.
Because it's cloth. Like U.S. money is cloth.
Even the older bills are this cloth material that people think is paper. It's not.
Right.
But certainly the newer ones with all of the fancy security measures
and holograms,
those are really difficult to duplicate, fortunately. But again, this lady came there and then she tried to pass this. And then a couple of days before, she tried to pass it, those bills before, and she was kind of stopped then too. So it's not like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Dude, you did it. You
we definitely
it
know.
You know, this is a $100 bill, probably the same one that they keep trying, and it's just not working.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I was a cashier for a long time as a kid, first jobs kind of thing.
Right.
And you always notice anything weird about the money. You notice, like, for example, old money with its different color scheme. You know, it's immediately you recognize it because it's just like, how do you train counterfeiters? Well, you train them by showing them real money a lot, and then eventually you don't have to train them how to spot a counterfeit. They know. It's innate, and so.
Well, I used to work in an undercover capacity, right, back in my younger days.
Yeah.
And we would get, during our conversations with people, and they'd talk to us about at rarely, but at times they talked about counterfeit money. They'd print the money back then and they start it. And you could tell because they're trying to age the paper. Mm-hmm.
Put it in the dryer,
to do all this stuff. They're crunkling it up and just like paper towels. They keep trying to, at one point they had a bunch of bills. They're just crumpled up in balls and they'd take them out. They'd unfold them and they'd fold them back up and they just try to make it aged enough. And then the plan was to stick it in between a couple other 20s. A lot of work. It never seemed to work.
They ought to go for something more profitable, like, making pennies or nickels that cost more per item than the item is worth.
Well, in this case, they weren't going to a store because it wasn't going to work. But they would, when you're doing a drug deal, sometimes those people also are a little bit, high.
Not paying the most astute attention.
Got 20 you. You put in their pocket.
A story that's been a lot in the news. You had a woman, 43-year-old, accused of using a 77-year-old man's debit card more than 60 times in the last few months fraudulently.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there was an elderly couple. The female passed away, and then the male was contacted by the bank because there was some suspicious activity. Come to find out this lady that had stayed there, had been cleaning their house in the past, was using her debit card, and she used it made 63 transactions in about a two-week window. And obviously she was, we had a warrant out on her since last year. But as these criminals do, they travel a little bit, and she found her way to Mobile, Alabama, where she was also arrested. Not sure why, but she spent some time in the Mobile clink, and then she found herself to the Escambia County, Alabama jail, and then ultimately now she's in the Escambia County jail.
So if you want like Yelp reviews of local incarceration conditions, you can ask this woman. She's familiar.
If she's taking notes.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds like she's got a steel trap for a Brian.
Card.
So
don't have your purse or wallet around.
Is there an enhancement for doing this against the elderly?
Yeah, there's a crime that involves the elderly, and she was charged with that enhancement as well.
It's so infuriating because, obviously the crime itself, but then this is why people are suspicious of everybody else who comes in your home. This is, why people are, it's the few bad ones that ruin it for everybody who's legitimately trying to help. Because I'm sure a lot of, home assistants, home help, they're just trying to do cleaning, whatever. And, now they got to deal with the paranoid elderly who saw this story and now they think everybody's a thief. It's awful.
I'm the worst. I'm so suspicious, a suspicious mind, John.
There you go.
I'm suspicious of everyone. If an Amazon driver takes too good a look at my garage door, I'm like, what are you doing, man?
But I can see it.
Yeah, because I've seen and I've heard and I've read all these stories of what's going on.
Yeah.
I do want to mention real quick before we run out of time, the scam again that people are calling and saying, hey, we're with the sheriff's office. Come to the sheriff's office. You're going to go to jail because you missed a subpoena or there's something about the loans from COVID loans and stuff. And then before they get there, they call them. So, okay, well, there is a chance you can go to a convenience store and pay in Bitcoin. And it just breaks my heart to see the people that are falling for this because they show up at the sheriff's office and they're like, hey, I've given this guy $10,000, or more, in many cases less, but more. And I'm like, there's nothing we can do for you. You've fallen for this scam that we have put out. I think we counted five, maybe it's the sixth time we put that out on our website because they think, they're sending me to the sheriff's office. It's got to be legit, but they always stop you. And so if you're listening, remind everyone, we do not accept payments for anything. We're not going to call you up, certainly not Bitcoin. I don't even know what a Bitcoin is.
Yeah.
And so it's not something that we do. So please spread the word if you're listening, because again, there's been a lot of people, specifically those that are on fixed income, that have lost a lot of money. And in one case I'm aware of, they have lost a majority of their retirement over the same type of a scam.
And I'm with you, but it wouldn't work if it weren't persuasive, and they wouldn't keep doing it if it didn't work.
All they need is, 1% of the 100 people that did fall for it?
It's a job for them. It's a numbers game for them.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, much more than that. And it always, they bounce IP addresses, so it's almost impossible, certainly for the local agencies or a state agency to deal with. FBI's got a handle on some of them, but by the time they get a hold of it, people have lost millions.
Right. You also had, over the last day or two, you had a domestic battery case. This is, again, involving an elderly, a 78-year-old victim. Is that right?
Yeah.
In Cantonment, I think.
Yeah. Again, It's a simple domestic violence. It was an argument, and it led to violence, to the battery charge. And regardless of your age, you're going to go to jail if you cannot batter someone. Period.
Right.
And as we talked before, I mean, I think you mentioned it. Walk away, count to 10, whatever you want to do, whatever calms you down. You know, you can go back and you can finish the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, write a letter to them, do something, exchange briefs,
right?
If you need to. But I don't think that it's something that's ever going to go away, because we continue to see domestic violence. We obviously take those very serious, because
right.
they can escalate to serious body harm or death.
Now, it was in the city, but the protest, demonstration, whatever you want to call it, at Graffiti Bridge the other day on Saturday, you guys had one of your trucks there, one of your surveillance vans, right?
Right. Yeah, there may have been some confusion as to why we had it there. Well, the bottom line is that the city of Pensacola is in Escambia County. I'm the sheriff for the city residents as well as the county residents. And Pensacola Police Department is very capable of handling things, but we... You know, the beauty of government should be that they can work together and we can share resources if we need to. So because the city police department doesn't yet have a mobile camera, we loan them ours. Again, just keeping track of what's going on. As I mentioned before, city of Pensacola can handle their own business. But ultimately, if something does go wrong, then we can move in and we can assist.
Did you see anything entertaining on the video?
You know, I didn't sit there and watch the video. There was a good crowd, but I will tell you, I was proud. I was proud of the fact that I can see people exercising their right to protest, but
agreed.
Doing it peacefully, staying out of the road, not blocking roads, but getting their message across. I think that's what we're all about.
No, I totally agree. And better than it was done during George Floyd, because they weren't at least in the street. They seemed to be all on the edge, which is good. We didn't have any of that kind of problem. You know, the one that looked like, and this isn't your jurisdiction, but on 9th Avenue where the truck jumped the curb or whatever, and people thought that it was an attack, and it wasn't an attack. It was just inadvertent. You know, those are all just very good things. I do have a question. Just kind of the technical aspect of the law that I don't really know the answer to. Assault is when you... intimidate, threaten, cause somebody to become afraid for their person. Battery is when you touch them.
Right.
Okay.
That's correct.
A lot of the signs that people will hold up are pretty aggressive. You know, profanity, pretty common. A lot of the things that people shout during a protest are pretty aggressive. In that kind of an environment, the kind of thing that if I said it to you at a bar might constitute assault, in a protest is kind of like, oh, that's just what we're chanting. How do you distinguish those? Do you just kind of set your bar differently? Do you just look for physical interaction as the defining character? How do you police that?
Typically, assault is when I swing at you and I miss. That's we want to take it a little bit farther than just threatening someone. You have to have
the fighting
inherent
words,
ability
to
carry
that.
Out that threat. So,
okay, so an attempted battering.
Well, yes, attempted battery basically is an assault.
Okay.
It's the same thing with aggravated assault. If I shoot at you with a weapon and I miss, it's aggravated assault.
Oh, it's not battery because
I hit you,
it's missed.
Aggravated battery or
got
attempted
it.
Murder,
okay.
One of those types of things. So typically that's the line that we draw. Now, there are times when you know, the fighting words type thing, I get in your face
mm-hmm.
and I'm threatening to do
mm-hmm.
this and that, it can rise to that level. But for the most part, that's more of a disorderly type of situation, and it's not necessarily assault.
Okay. And it's, you know, protests often are a kind of organized, sounds like an oxymoron, organized disorderly behavior, you know, within limits, at a place, with a permit, sometimes, whatever. But it's not a violation of the law until.
And even disorderly, you have to offend someone. It
mm-hmm.
has to be a disorderly to someone else. It can't be disorderly to me as a law enforcement officer. It has to be disorderly to a community or to a neighborhood type. A
reasonable person standard, that kind
of
thing.
We talk reasonableness a lot.
Right.
And you talked about no one blocked the road like they did before. I'm not going to let people block roads in Escambia County. I don't care what road it is or where it is.
Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thanks for informing us. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.